If you were one of the few who are here at my opener, you might have caught a glimpse, or before a little bit before the service, you may have caught a glimpse of what I'm about to talk about. And that would give you a hint to the answer why I avoid a certain household task. And the answer is relatively simple. My heart's not in it. I give that example as a way to talk about our spiritual heart. And as a speaker, it behooves me to figure out technology. Okay, there we go. It behooves me to give you the definitions for what I'm talking about when I talk about the heart. And here's some things to keep in mind as I'm using it this morning. It is central. It is what is central to our lives. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It is the seat of emotions. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness. A little later, in verse 13, even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. It's also the source of personal well-being. Proverbs 14, again, in verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body. It is also the source of faith in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And another definition, and for those of you who are familiar with Hope Ministries, this language is familiar, the heart that the Father has for you right now in your journey. If we are fully pursuing what God has for us, the heart we should be striving to cultivate should be the heart that God wants us to have in that particular season of life. And the question comes to us this morning: are you connected to him? Are you seeking after that heart? I want to use the parable of the prodigal sons as a way to look at heart, as a way of looking at maybe how this manifests and how it plays out in our lives. So in your Bibles, your preferred scripture medium and translation, turn to Luke 15. This parable is found in verses 11 through 32. As you're turning there, the setting for this can be found in the first two verses of the chapter. And the complaint that we find being leveled against Jesus is that he is spending time with sinners. And so he tells three stories, three parables, kind of addressing this complaint. And the parable of the prodigal sons is one of those. This is a well-known parable. I'm sure all of us could basically recite it word for word or give the gist of it. So we won't spend time reading it this morning. Also, for brevity's sake, I won't spend a whole lot of time talking about some of the cultural significances or the cultural background of the people as they're listening to this here parable would have understood. I think there's a lot of times there's some things we get wrong with this here parable, but again, we won't, for the sake of time, we won't address that. But in the discussion period that's ahead, if you understand some of these, you can feel free to share your answers and maybe with some of that in mind or explain why you gave that answer based on something you know. So in this parable, we find, I've broken it down into four types of heart. Aaron, I'm not sure why this is not... Keyboard? Well, that did not go. I've broken it down into four types of heart. The first two have to do with the younger son. We see the earlier version of the younger son in verses 11 through 13. The second portion of that is in verses 14 through 19. Then we'll take a look at the father and take a look at the older son as well. So what I want us to do is call out what you see in each section or each character as we move along here. This won't really be a long-form discussion. It's just, what are you seeing? What actions are you seeing or what are you interpreting about the heart of the characters as we go here? And we'll start with the first one, which is the younger son. So in verses 11 through 13, what are you seeing in those verses that give you a glimpse into his heart? Again, their selfishness, yes.
What was that?
Yes, Yes, focused on pleasure and in the immediate.
Careless.
I affirm all of those.
Indifferent to his father.
That's a big one.
Ungrateful.
Uh-huh.
Unfulfilled hunger.
He was obviously not getting something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went looking, right?
Ignorance of the value of his inheritance.
Ignorance of the value of his inheritance. Yes. Yes, I wanted someone to say that. There's in the phrase in a far country implies he's outside of his homeland, he's in a different culture, he's leaving the faith, he's leaving his community, everything's behind him. Those are good. Thank you for sharing. The second portion here, verses 14 through 19, what do you see about the younger son? Again, action or something we can extrapolate about his heart.
Burn
through that inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Longing.
He's gaining wisdom.
He's gaining wisdom. It's hard fought.
Humility.
Mm-hmm.
Desperation.
These are all good. Anything else?
Hunger.
Quite literal.
Wasteful.
There's another one.
Thirst.
Humility. Yeah, those are all good, and we could probably spend more time diving into it. What do you see about the father? We see the father in all throughout the parable, but we see he's in the beginning, he's in the middle, and he's at the end. And we're looking at all of that. What do you see either in his actions or what can we extrapolate from where his heart is?
Unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
He's patient.
Longing for his son.
Generous.
Maybe to a fault.
Longing for his sons.
Well, yes, not just one. There's two sons here.
Mm-hmm.
Any more?
Gracious.
He's gracious. He's watching.
Yes,
yes. Again, there's some, I really wish we'd have time to dive into some of the cultural, what the people would have understood about this, because in his welcome, there's also a defense against communal shame. But like I said, we don't have time to dive into that. Lastly, the older son. What do we extrapolate from him?
Resentment.
Self-righteousness.
Indifferent
to his father.
Okay with being a slave, even though he was a son.
Interesting. Okay with being a slave, even though he was a son. Yes. Okay.
Sense of greed, too, that he felt everything belonged to him.
Well, it did kind of, didn't it? I mean, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying, Nathan. Yeah, I think, yes, he lost sight that everything Dad had was his, right? Yeah.
Took things for granted
versus being grateful. Yes, and again, I affirm all of those, and thank you for sharing. So again, where is your heart? What we do, what we say, are reflections of where our heart is focused, where our heart is positioned. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. If you're wondering where your heart is, check your newsfeed. Check the ads on the sidebar of your web browser. What conversations or what topics get you fired up to talking about? One example is sports, and honestly, it's a great time to be a sports fan right now. I'm sure some of the young guys up front know that this is Championship Sunday in the disc golf world. The Major League Baseball playoffs are here. If you're a fan of one of the teams, you follow. Also, professional and collegiate football has begun, and basketball is about to begin. And also in sports, I include the outdoor world as well, and hunting season has begun. So this is just, if sports is your thing, it's a good time. It's a good time of year. There are other topics, there are other things that our hearts can get wrapped up in. And if you're still confused about where your heart is, ask someone close to you. I'm sure my wife could tell you things that I'm passionate about because she has perspective. She has distance and can look into my life in ways that I can't. Please don't, hon. It may be that our heart this morning is turned away from the Father, that there's been a deliberate bent and deliberate choice away from his goodness. It may be that we are in proximity to God's work, but we're not connected to the Father's heart, like the older son. Let me repeat that. It may be we are close to where God's work is being done, but being close is by no means a substitute for knowing God. So, if the heart has been turned away, I think the answer is found in James. James 4, 8, the first part. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But understand also, this is in the context of verse 7. Is the heart hardened? There's numerous calls in Scripture against having a hard heart. And you might say, well, I haven't deliberately been ignoring God. But if you're close to where God's work is being done and you don't know him, there's some kind of resistance there. There's a small level of hardness that's not being penetrated. And so I would posit that even resistance is a form of hardness as well. And so there's two verses I want to share here, two out of many. Romans 2, 5, 5a. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. Psalm 95, 8a. Do not harden your hearts. Goes on to say, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial, in the wilderness. It can sometimes be a little scary to think that, oh, I need to go confess something, or something's not right with God, I need to come back. There's a bit of a fear, a bit of shame. And that's normal. But God has a 24/7 heart. And I don't mean that in the sense that, well, he is always available, yes. But this is not cliche. This is Jeremiah 24/7. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their, not partial, not in a little bit, but with their whole heart. He reiterates this in Ezekiel 36, 26. This is God's offer. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Like the younger prodigal son, we often don't come in a perfect manner. When we come, we bring our dirty, our pigsty, smelly, selfish selves. And yet, it is in that process of turning back to God that Jeremiah 24/7 and James 4:8 become real. And this is something I've been striving for, is having a heart that's alive to God, that's tender, that's responsive. And it's a journey, it's a process. And there are few, I think, and they're vulnerable. Few people have a new and alive heart, one that truly is responsive to God. Because again, a lot of things can crowd in. I want to take some time, and by some time, I mean about a minute, maybe 2 minutes, and I want us to think on this question. Where is your heart? Like I said, others can speak into this. We might have a sense of where we are, but it's only Jesus, it's only the Father who can truly point it out and say, here's where you are. I just want to take some time, and I want to allow Jesus to have that space to speak to you individually. And so we'll just take some time to think on this, and to be open, not just where God's pointing it out, but also what are those steps to get back to the Father, to return home. After this, I'll sit down and start the timer, and then after that, I'll give Shane a cue, and then we'll sing a transition song as we get into Sunday school.